This is Radio Free Pro Wrestling, the home of smart and stunning wrestling takes.
Welcome to this special episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling, as we're getting you ready for WrestleCon 2024 and WrestleMania week. We know you're getting ready to head off to Philly over this coming Easter weekend. Then Kimmy Skull to give us the heads up, 411 on everything WrestleCon. She is the host of All Things Honor, and I got a feeling that she's going to put me to the test. We can talk about Ring of Honor here later in the show. And especially to you, Kimmy, welcome to Radio Free Professional Wrestling.
Thank you guys for having me. Super excited to be here, talk all things WrestleCon, yell about Ring of Honor a little bit more than I usually do. But guys, it's almost WrestleMania week. How did we get here so fast?
Okay, here's one fun fact for you. 2 weeks from tonight, the Raw after Mania. It's that fast.
I'm not ready.
Not either, but here we are. So our very first question for you, Kimmy. Being a first-time attendee to WrestleCon, what would be your top tip to make sure that you had the best time ever at this event?
So one thing that I love about WrestleCon is that it is so fan-driven. And the funny thing is, the first ever WrestleCon, I went as a fan. And now this is my fourth one working. So love improvements. But I would say my top tip is make a list of everyone that you want to meet. There's actually a cheat sheet on the WrestleCon website with every single talent, every single vendor, every single like pricing that you want. So head over to WrestleCon.com because they have all that information for you. But the other cool thing that they also have is the superfan, and tickets actually stop for the superfan and 3-day passes at the end of the week. So with the superfan, you actually get all 3 days, as well as superfan experiences that's just exclusive to you. That's including the Sting Q&A Thursday night. That's also including 2 WrestleMania watch parties. If you do not decide to go to WrestleMania, they will have a watch party Saturday night and Sunday night. And they also have, there's like an ECW breakfast that they have where ECW wrestlers will be there that you get to talk to them and all that fun stuff. So if you still don't have tickets, you should go purchase the Superfan. Tickets stop going or go down on March 29th. So go get that.
And WrestleCon has already tweeted out that if you wait till the last minute and you show up at the door, you're only able to buy the single day ticket.
Exactly. So why buy 3 single day where you could just go to get the Superfan where all 3 days plus exclusive stuff to you is included?
Very true.
It's like now, girl math, right?
Well, you know, some guy's going to show up like every single day going like, hey, you know what? I got 3 hours to kill. Let me just go ahead and float down like $41, $51, and $21. I get myself covered. Wait a minute. What do you mean I could have got a ticket for $61 for all 3 days?
Exactly.
What a deal.
What a bargain, people.
A steal, if you will.
Okay, so we're moving to my second question for you guys. Okay, we're at WrestleCon. We're in the line, and there's that one person, and they do the most idiotic faux pas thing. Kimmy, what is this thing that we should avoid doing to alienate us from all the cool people?
So obviously, number one, I think this is for everyone. Wear deodorant, okay? There's going to be a lot of people there. There's a record number of ticket sales for this event. So deodorant is important. It is essential. Hygiene. If you could afford a convention, you could afford proper hygiene. It's number one. And I think the other thing too is like, don't stalk out the wrestlers. Like, don't, like, if they're leaving, like, don't stalk them out to the lobby. It's kind of weird. Or like, don't follow them to like the bathroom. That's also kind of weird. Don't do that either. Right? Like, just, you, like, I think the big thing is like, these people, these wrestlers are people too. And I've been doing this for about 5.5 years, Juby 6 years of me helping out on the convention scene. And I think the biggest thing I've learned is that these wrestlers are people like you and me. So proper etiquette, you know that there's a huge line behind you. Don't take 10 minutes and tell the wrestler your life story. It's hi, how are you? Whatever. Picture, autograph, move on.
Yeah, especially exactly. Line etiquette. I've never been to a WrestleCon myself, but I have been to a Comic-Con and stuff like that. Like, line etiquette in general, just keeping your space from people, not being, like, loud and screaming for no reason. I've seen people, like, try to yell at the person up at the table over other people. Like, you'll get there. It's okay.
I try to move my lines fast. I promise. You will not be waiting on my line more than, like, 10, 15 minutes. Hopefully.
You know, sometimes you have that life story you want to tell your favorite professional wrestler. This weekend is not the time for this. You know, hey, maybe you get another meet and greet down the road, then you can do it, but not during WrestleCon week.
Listen, I get it. We've all been there. Like I said, the first WrestleCon ever, I was a fan. I get it. But be respectful towards your other fans. Like I said, there is a record number of talent at this event. There's also a record number of fans at this event. Be respectful to everyone involved.
Okay, we're moving to the next question. Who is that one wrestler coming into WrestleCon 2024 that is the can't miss? This is the person you need to go out your way to say, hey, how you doing? Big time fan. Or that person you need to get to know.
So there's a lot. So for our Friday headliner, your Friday headliner is actually Sting. So, and that's right off of his retirement match at Revolution. So that would be one I can't miss. Ronda Rousey is also making her WrestleCon debut. I believe this is also like her first like wrestling appearance that she's done. And she'll have her new book on sale as well. So that's another one. Nails is also going to be there. Nick Nemeth is making his WrestleCon debut. There's a lot of first time ever like people that are making their WrestleCon debut. Like Nick Nemeth is one. Elias is another. Queen Amanada is another. So there's so many talent. Like I said, this is a record number of talent that they've ever had in the, I believe, 10 plus years that WrestleCon has been a convention. So there's so much to do. Look at that cheat. That cheat sheet is your go-to. WrestleCon.com, you could print it out. You could color code it. I know when I was a fan, my dad and I actually used to like put it on a Excel sheet of everything we need, but WrestleCon did the hard work for you. High Spots did it for you.
And we're going to have that link to the cheat sheet in our show notes here, so it's easy access for all you guys.
Yes, my vendor friends would very much appreciate that.
Okay, so looking outside of WrestleCon, what's the one thing that you're looking forward to most during WrestleMania week?
I mean, WrestleMania itself, right? It's the biggest show of the year, but WrestleCon is actually doing a super show Thursday night with a ton of amazing matches. So you could actually go buy tickets to that as well. It's sold out, but they're doing standing room only. And Paul Hauser is wrestling on that show. He's wrestling Sami Callihan. Don't know how that match is going to go. Could be really scary. And there's a bunch of other matches they've announced. So you could go get standing room tickets for that show. But WrestleMania, there's so many indie shows. Ring of Honor, I'll be media for that Friday night. So I'll be going from WrestleCon to Ring of Honor for Supercard of Honor. And we'll have our Ring of Honor champion defending his championship. This is a big deal. It only happens like, oh, so rare. So you go, Eddie Kingston.
You know, it's kind of like Christmas. It happens once a year, so you better make sure you get your Ring of Honor defense on Ring of Honor pay-per-view Supercard Honor.
He didn't do it.
Included in the club again this week.
He didn't do it at Final Battle. He was in a Proving Grounds match. So you know what? We haven't seen him defend his championship at a pay-per-view since Death Before Dishonor in July. That's almost a year ago.
And that match, worst of all, was not even announced. It was like thrown on during the pay-per-view.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be like Mark Briscoe was supposed to be the original opponent, and then he got hurt. And then I think there was another opponent that he was supposed to face, and then something happened with that too. Poor Eddie Kingston. Struggle is real.
But it would hurt me if I didn't mention Friday afternoon about 5:30. Progress Wrestling is coming back to North America for the first time in years. The last time they were here was the last time WrestleMania was in New Orleans. So if you have some free time on Friday afternoon, I'll have the link to Progress show so you can get tickets. I guarantee you it's a hard-hitting British strong style company that you're going to enjoy. And Kimmy, if you do have some free time on Friday, you might want to slide over.
I got to see Friday is one of the busier days. The agent I'm working for is the person bringing in Sting. So I might be in Sting land over there.
You know what? I got to say that is a dream job. I would honestly teleport over to help you out just for free. I know I'm saying this on air, but I would do it for free.
Listen, my job's not all rain, but when sun shines, I've had to yell at people. I actually had a fan 2 weeks ago say I have an attitude problem at one of these because I was trying to explain something to him and he didn't like my answer. So it's not all sunshines and rainbows, but I'm very grateful. Like I said, I've been doing this for 6 years. I've gotten to do amazing things. I've gotten to travel the world. I've gotten to work with some pretty cool people. And it's just great. And I know the people at High Spots who put on WrestleCon every year do a hell of a job. And I'm really excited to see how this event turns out next.
And this event starts on April the 4th with the ECW tribute show there at the ECW Arena. Then you get Friday when the commission starts. It's 10 to 2 every day, unless you're a super fan, and you get an extra hour, 9 to 2.
Well, the ECW tribute show, that's not WrestleCon. That's another promoter. Thursday night's the WrestleCon Super Show.
Oh, the WrestleCon Super Show. I've had misspoke.
So many shows.
You know what? That's the greatest thing about WrestleMania week is we're finally back post-pandemic where everybody who's anybody is doing a show this week.
That is true. And that's the other great thing about WrestleCon is it appeals to every fan. Like when I say this is fan-driven, you have WWE legends, AEW superstars. They've announced Joshi wrestlers, like any independent talent that you can name. This is such a fan-driven event with so many wrestlers from so many different forms. And the other cool thing that they've also done, talking about fan driven, is they also had a t-shirt contest where fans were able to design their own like WrestleCon logo, and if you won, your logo got put on a turnbuckle and a t-shirt, and it's going to be sold at the WrestleCon merch store at WrestleCon. And if you're not going, you could also go to WrestleCon.com and they have the stuff up that you could also purchase it if you like the designs. There's two designs that you could
and they look very sharp. I did check them out before we had this live telecast, so still approval here, buddy. Still approval. Okay, so we're going to slide over to our main segment of the week. We're going over to our Stunning Six questions.
Time to ring the bell as Sean and Ashley debate six stunning questions from the week of wrestling. All the whys and what the hell was that?
Okay, Kimmy and Ashley, my first stunning question for you guys this week. Should Jack Perry be granted his release? Now, this story broke late last week where Dave Meltzer reported that Jack Perry was sent home from London All In, had no contact with Tony Khan for about 2 months. He texts Tony Khan, like, hey, I'm sorry for getting all this happened for CM Punk being fired and you losing CM Punk to WWE. And we haven't seen Jack Perry on a AEW telecast since then, but he's over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now, what has happened since that story broke is Jack Perry kind of said, hey, I didn't apologize about this. I got a feeling this is a little bit of a storyline going on here, eventually bringing Jack Perry back to AEW. But honestly, do we need Jack Perry in AEW? Ooh, Kimmy, you want to go first?
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask him, like, is there like a order here? So this story is crazy because I feel like, you know, it was reported that it was like this wasn't true and it was this instead. And it's like, how do we follow this here? I like what he's doing in New Japan. I like the whole scapegoat gimmick. I think it's very creative, whether that was his idea in New Japan's or whatever. But if they really don't have a plan for him, I guess he should be granted his release. But I mean, I know a couple weeks ago that the Bucks had tagged him in a post of theirs. So I'm like, is that kind of leading to him going with them and kind of doing this whole like more authority style elite tag or faction thing that they got going on? But I think this whole situation as well has just very much escalated. And it's just like he said one little thing, and I understand that Punk went to the other side, but you have a much better signing in Mercedes Moné, Okada, and Ospreay who could give you like the same amount of revenue and eyes on your product that's not a PR disaster like Punk is. So, I mean, I think the whole thing's a little bit over-exaggerating, but if they don't really have any plans with him and they're just keeping him until his contract runs out, you might as well just grant him his release because he can go to Japan, he can go to TNA, he could do the indies just like Nick Nemeth is doing. So, yeah.
Okay. Kind of like you said, I do think like maybe this didn't start off being so much. Maybe there was some real heat between them. Maybe it's sort of died down a bit. I do believe this is to bring Jack Perry back in eventually. And I do enjoy the scapegoat thing. I don't so much enjoy House of Torture, but that's another subject. This is so weird because there was, like you said, there was like four or five reports that came out, I would say, over the past week. It's like every day somebody was going back and forth. If he truly wants to be released, I've said it before on this podcast, any wrestler who truly wants to be released from their contract should have every right to be released from their contract. I don't believe they should be held to there if they don't want to be there, and especially if there are no plans for them. I think if Tony Khan, though, is really blaming Jack Perry for all of this, Tony Khan is a very rich man, and he should buy a mirror.
You know, actually, I kind of agree with you. I feel like he needs to look in the mirror and go like, you know, there's one person who has control here in AEW, and wait a minute, it's me. I can do something about this.
Like, I'm saying, like, one of the biggest reports that I read after the whole incident happened was that Tony Khan had asked Punk to go talk to Jack Perry about this. And if that is true, Tony Khan, you are the boss. You tell Jack Perry, we're not doing glass, or you don't have a match at Wembley. And that's how it works. The end. There's no like debating it. If the glass is dangerous and you don't want it on the show, don't allow him to use it. But certainly don't go ask another employee to go speak on your behalf. That's weird. You're the boss.
Kimmy, what are your thoughts about this?
I mean, yeah, it's just such an interesting situation, because I feel like when you think of All In, like, that's the only thing you think about is this whole situation where All In was just such a historic event and did so many great things for AEW. And everyone's like, oh, this is the event that, like, it was Punk's last match and this was the last we saw of Punk, where they're look at the brighter side. Like, AEW had their first stadium show. You had a killer main event. You had... That was the first time we saw Mercedes Moné on AEW TV. But it's just a very interesting situation that I definitely think Tony needs to figure out what is going on, because, I mean, there was 4 to 5 different reports, and there could be 4 to 5 different reports, but in the midst of that, there's a truth somewhere.
You know, it's always like what people say, there's three truths. There's your truth, the other person's truth, and somewhere in the middle is the actual truth that eventually, maybe 5, 10 years from now, we'll be reading a book about it.
Becky Lynch's book comes out tomorrow.
Okay, so let's move to my second setting question, because I'm off to a races here to see how many people I can annoy with my questions this week. So allow me to do setting question number 2 for all you Ring of Honor fans. If you watched Honor Club last week, there was a fan in the crowd that had a sign that said, thank you, Tony Khan, for saving Ring of Honor and professional wrestling. Ashley and Kimmy, has Tony Khan saved Ring of Honor and professional wrestling as we know it?
The one thing I'll always be thankful for Tony Khan about is he's given so many opportunities to so many people. And I think that's like the bigger thing that we have to realize is so many of these people, if it wasn't for AEW, might not have a job, might not have a way to support their family and like have an income and do the things that they're able to do. So from that point of view, I 100% think that Tony Khan has like been a grace to society. When you're talking about Ring of Honor, my man is like killing my heart every single week. Okay, we can't even have our champions on the show. We have these random matches put together at the last possible second. And at this point, they have 2 to 3 four-corner survival matches. And if you've watched the early days of Ring of Honor, that was a staple, right? They've always had like these four-corner survival matches, but now it's just lazy booking because you don't know what to put on the episode. And you have a Ring of Honor Women's Champion who is fantastic and who is carrying the show on her back every single week, but you could have every other Ring of Honor champion on Dynamite or Rampage or Collision, but some reason Athena can't do that either. But why can't Athena do that when Athena is the reason that people are buying Honor Club every single week to see what she's doing with Billy and Alexi and all these amazing stories she's done? There's a reason that she's main evented 2 Ring of Honor pay-per-views and not the World Heavyweight Champion, because the main story in Ring of Honor is her. So he needs to fix that.
Ashley, what is your response?
Very much in agreement. And to build upon it, it makes no sense to use all of these Ring of Honor champions to supposedly, you bring them there to entice people to be like, hey, these people are going to be on Ring of Honor. If I pay for Honor Club, I'm going to get to see Eddie Kingston defend the world title. I'm going to get to see Kyle Fletcher. I'm going to get to see Wheeler Yuta, maybe.
Maybe.
You're not doing any of that. You are like leaving Athena to just try to draw in viewers with no help. You're not even showing clips or anything on AEW television of really anything going on. You're just going to go, oh, hey, the pay-per-view, though.
I know what you mean, Ashley. It's like, oh, hey, you know what? The diehard Ring of Honor fans, we just photograph it up. They're like, oh, yay, here we go. Here's another $9 for Honor Club this month.
Hey, listen, that's the one saving grace, is that it's on Honor Club again this time. I think they would struggle to move it if they sold it separately. You're not doing anything to promote outside, and you have the 6-man championships on Dynamite. You have the television championship on Dynamite, the world heavyweight champion on Dynamite. The pure champion has been out with injury, but still, and it's, we have no idea when he'll be back, I guess. We're just, what is the point? We have two championships on Ring of Honor, and you're doing absolutely nothing to even promote their existence.
And you only have three matches for this pay-per-view. That's next Friday. And I did another podcast last week where I said that Ring of Honor is like when you're in school and you're trying to like do a project and you cram it at the last possible second because you don't want to do it. You're too lazy. You forget about it, whatever. And that's what Tony Khan does at Ring of Honor. He crams in the pay-per-view matches like the night before or two nights before. And then he makes an amazing card, which is great. But how am I supposed to spend $9.99 a month to watch the TV episodes when you're not doing anything to sell that to me?
Exactly.
Well, you know, hopefully, eventually, they'll get to put Ring of Honor on maybe mats, or hey, you know what? Let's just combine Rampage and Dynamite like we did last week into a three-hour block, and that Friday block, 10 p.m. Let's make it Ring of Honor TV.
Do we really need Rampage if we're going to do that? I mean,
or I'm saying get rid of Rampage. Just make Rampage, like, all you have enough women on the roster. Make Rampage an all-woman show, for all I care. You have enough women to make 3 to 4 matches and make people care.
Especially with the roster you have now.
And the new Ring of Honor Women's TV Champion we're crowning next week.
Well, you know, we're going to get there, I do believe. I feel like those semifinal matches are going to be in our top 5 matches of the week. Let's move on to standing question number 3. As I was watching NXT this past Tuesday, I remember actually I was saying I wasn't sure about Roxanne Perez as a heel coming off that promo we saw 2 weeks ago, but her match with Tatum Paxley made me a believer. I feel like Roxanne Perez can be a effective heel, and I'm here for it. And as much as I love Lyra Valkyria, let's flip this freaking title around.
I think the problem with Roxanne is that she should have been brought up to the main roster like a year ago because they're running out of things to do with her. And because every single person in NXT keeps getting hurt, they can't like have her pass the torch down to anybody because everyone gets injured. Like this match at Stand and Deliver was supposed to be Cora, but she got hurt at the live event. So they had to turn to old and reliable Roxanne Perez to come and save the day. So for the sake of something new, yes, this was the right move, but I definitely think if she's not winning the title next weekend that she needs to get put up to the main roster and like just have her feud with somebody. Like the SmackDown women's roster is so stacked that I feel like Raw needs like a fresh new face. Have Roxanne debut the Raw after WrestleMania. That's what we used to do. We used to have surprises on that show 15 million years ago.
I know, back in the days when I was younger and dinosaurs ruled the earth.
I was going to say, that's almost what I have here, like, written. It is cool to have a fresh coat of paint and to kind of have, like, this, like, renewed focus and everything. But you either have to put the title on her or, like you said, like, the time is now to do something with her. Like, she's been ready.
You know, you get to a point where she becomes basically like Baron Corbin. You basically bring her up to the main roster and you're going like, okay, another body on the roster. Okay, cool. Yeah, next. But I feel like maybe we got Shawn Michaels down in NXT. He sees something in her. And, you know, you do need a couple of good people on that show to draw ratings in. And she's good at doing that. So, fingers crossed, we see the future of Roxanne Perez. Eventually on the main roster, hopefully on Raw.
She's got to be. SmackDown has Jade and Tiffy. It's Tiffy time on SmackDown. We need, Raw needs something besides Mommy.
Very true. And I've got a feeling that moving over to Netflix, they need to beef up the Raw roster.
I think there's going to be a draft between now and that Netflix.
Totally agree with that.
I could see that happening.
Well, since we're in WWE land, let's just go ahead and talk about the only storyline they've been missing for the last 2.5 years, as we have Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Can Cody finish the story? If you saw Friday Night SmackDown live last Friday night, I'm sorry. I did the same thing, and the last 30 minutes was paint watching dry, boring as hell. So my question to you ladies, has this storyline become so stale?
So if they didn't have like The Rock, and so I didn't watch SmackDown on Friday, I was at the Fall Out Boy concert, but if they did not have The Rock and Rollins involved within this, I would have been like, what are we doing here? Like, this is literally the same thing as last year, except here's Cody, a bigger underdog now. But now that you have a little bit more fresh faces in there, and as The Rock has said on Twitter for at least the past month now, he's making wrestling cool again because he has all of these people that are just casual viewers or maybe haven't watched wrestling in years. Oh, The Rock's back. I like The Rock. I'll go watch it. And that draws people to go to WrestleMania night one. It draws people to go watch WrestleMania on Peacock, draw viewers for Raw. Like, my cousin, for example, hasn't watched wrestling in years. And when Punk came back at Survivor Series, he went down a rabbit hole on TikTok of just finding out everything that's happened for the past 5 or 6 years because he fell back in love with it. And that's what The Rock is doing for this feud. He's making people invested again. He's making people care. So thankfully for him, it has not turned too stale, but if Rock and Rollins was not there, I'd be like, why are we doing this again? I'm not excited for Mania. Let's focus on something else. I mean, hell, this whole reason, it's the reason why the women are main eventing night one and Bayley gets screwed.
I don't know if it's stale. I don't know if that's the right word. I feel like they're really still not hitting every cylinder since kind of missing a slam dunk of a layup. They had it. It was there. And then they changed on a dime. And now they've had to spend like more time trying to kind of course correct that. I feel has kind of slowed down the pace of things and has kind of slowed down the storytelling that they had going prior to this. But you can't argue with, you know, like having The Rock in there. And like you said, like everybody obviously is super excited to see The Rock back. Everybody is super excited to see him compete again. I wish it's like a catch 22. I wish like he hadn't come back at this time to kind of step in right here. I wish they had just gone with Cody straight through. But like, you can't argue with the results. And also The Rock is awesome. So like, it sucks, but it's a tough call. That's why I think they're kind of going the way they did now, but hopefully you still have some time, come together with a big close before the show, you know, big go home show. And I think it should be okay.
Honestly, I feel like they just suffered from one too many weeks from the start of this road to WrestleMania and actual WrestleMania. If they didn't have this random Friday in the middle of March to book and they had to do something, I had a good solution after watching that. I was like, as soon as Roman put the mic to his mouth and about ready to say acknowledge me, I would have hit Cody's music and have Cody run down for like a axe handle 2x4. And you see the baby faces finally getting the upper hand and being smart and like singling out Roman when he's in the ring with only Paul Heyman.
Let's just be happy The Rock's showing up every week compared to Roman Reigns.
Well, that's true. Also, like you said, nice to see sometimes the babyface trope thing go away, because, oh, Lord, that all companies stop this trope. Good guys have friends, okay? They do. They just do. They'll have friends in the back. They'll have a wrestler who will come out and help them when there's five guys beating up. Somebody will help.
Okay, guys, we're moving on to my fifth stunning question. As Julia went to her Twitter account this past week and cleared up the fact that she is a free agent coming up here in a few couple days, has a few dates left with Stardom. So, Kimmy, Ashley, what is the ceiling for one of the most amazing talents in professional wrestling in North America working for the major company, WWE?
I don't think you put her in NXT. I think that's a wasted thing. Don't do that. You have to put her right to the main roster. That's my opinion. And I definitely think that she's going to be a viable contender if Bayley is not to win at WrestleMania. I think she'll be a viable contender for Io. I think her and Kairi also as well. There's so much that there's to do, but I feel like if you put her in NXT, it's going to be like kind of a downgrade because we all know who she is. And I feel like, you know, her English is very good. That's something that a lot of people said when these rumors started circulating in the beginning of the year. So I feel like you just have to put her on the main roster right away.
Yeah, kind of the same. I feel like her ceiling is, who knows? It's going to be ridiculously high. And like you said, I think that was kind of the intention with trying to bring her in so hard was to get her in programs with like Io and Kairi and stuff like that. So I say just go right for it then.
Honestly, we were talking about the day after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania. I don't know if that's capable of her contract with Stardom, but if that's not, literally put her on Friday Night SmackDown as soon as possible and have her interact with Io and Asuka. I mean, like, she's ready. I mean, actually, remember that Stardom stream we saw a few months ago, and I watched Julia for the first time live, I was like, she's ready. She's like plug and play ready. She's a superstar.
That's why, even like Kimmy just said, you got to kind of skip over the NXT. I think it would kind of maybe derail a little bit of momentum if we started her there. If she can debut after WrestleMania like that, do that. That would be fantastic. That would be a great debut and surprise for everybody.
People be like, oh my God. And then you'll have the people be like, where's the video package? I need someone to explain this.
Who is this? I can type all of this, but I can't type in Julia on Google.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't need like 20,000 people in the ring going like mind-blowing crazy because they just saw the hottest female professional wrestler, not in North America, appear in the arena as they're watching Monday Night Raw. I'm like, oh my God, that's not good enough.
To anybody who's ever confused when they see a wrestler they are unfamiliar with in the ring, just watch them. You will become familiar with them, and you will either like them or you won't. And there you go. There's your opinion. You don't have to sit here and go, who is this? And I need to know every single aspect of their life right now. Watch and let it unfold. That's part of the storytelling sometimes. Let it happen.
The crazy part is by this time next year, like, we could potentially have Jade as like a champion. So like you could do like Jade versus Julia at like WrestleMania, have like the AEW versus the New Japan. It's like Forbidden Door happening at WrestleMania.
You know what? That would be a fun match. That would be a very entertaining match. And you know what? I'm pretty sure they'll get there eventually. And oh, by the way, we're going to have Jade make her appearance on Friday Night SmackDown this week. Something you guys need to go out and watch. Let's move on to our final standing question of the week. And it was one from our last episode that me and Ashley had about 2 weeks ago, as we were talking about, should Sammy Guevara suffer a suspension for failing to do the proper protocol during his match with Jeff Hardy? Ashley, I remember you saying that he wasn't the only one that should be suspended. There should have been like the ref and the doctor. Do you still stand by your words?
So, When we talked, I had only watched it the live through once. And since then, I had gone back to like rewatch that spot. I still do sort of stand by it. Sammy should have been suspended. He had to know Jeff was hurt. Your knee or your shin just smashed that man's face. Like, you felt that. Why Paul Turner didn't intervene when he saw them trying to just stop the match? We'd all rather they be safe than you keep going. And if you're worried that Jeff has a severe head injury, physically stop the match, ring the bell, do whatever you can to stop the match. You got to do like an MMA referee, I guess, you know, kind of insert yourself into there and stop it. And I say this not just because like I have like some issue with Paul Turner or anything. I don't. I think he's a great official. I say this because this is not the first time AEW has had this issue. And it's not the first time we've seen a serious like concussion or a concussion protocol issue where it seemingly should have been stopped and it wasn't. I feel like Jon Moxley is like the only person who has stopped a match. That shouldn't be how it is. Your wrestlers should not be stopping the match because they're like, oh shit, we hurt each other. You're an official and it's your job to understand when somebody is hurt. And if you need to stop the match, don't worry about us. Worry about them and tend to them.
So okay, I feel Kim, like they were... There were many things that was not taken into account with this. This whole situation was still very wrong. Kind of similar to the Jack Perry situation. Anyone see like the reoccurrence of situations not being handled correctly in this company? So I definitely think that the ref should have also suffered some type of punishment. You know, in a match, not everything is just the wrestler's fault. There's so many people involved. There's also a producer that was calling this match. Did the producer also not like think to themselves like...
Inside doctor.
Yeah, there's so many people that like put together one match every single week, like within the company. So I definitely think something should have happened to the ref. And I think Tony just needs to do a better job in general of handling injuries, because like you mentioned, like the whole thing with Moxley, I was there live for that. And that was not a fun situation. The same thing with Adam Cole destroying his ankle. And that was no fault to anybody's, because man decided to jump downstairs instead of just walking like a normal person. But even he was like running around and still like hopping on one, like he was walking normally. And I'm like, buddy, we know you're hurt. It's okay. You could sit down. Like, it's okay. I promise. So I definitely think that Tony needs to do a better job of protecting his wrestlers so this situation doesn't happen again. But yeah, for Sammy to only take the blame, I thought that was kind of weird.
And especially like the weird timing too, because like he still had a match the next week against Will Hobbs, and then they suspended him for it. So why the delay? Rampage was recorded the Wednesday before. You had time to like review the tape, kind of decide what you were going to do before you booked him in another match.
Exactly, Ashley. And oh, by the way, they literally showed the full match on that episode of Rampage. We saw the spot in question. And like you, Kimmy, I feel like this is a total breakdown of the entire system. This is their get out of jail free card. This is let us come up with a new strategy and make sure we drill in everybody's head. And if somebody needs to be the sacrificial lamb here, maybe it's Sammy Guevara. Maybe you do let him go, but you don't suspend him. You let him go.
I mean, to be fair, this is not also the first time Sammy's gotten in trouble for something. Like, I feel like Sammy's had like 4 suspensions at this point. And like, whenever they're looking to blame somebody, they're like, oh, we'll just blame Sammy just because. And it's like, it's not all Sammy's fault sometimes, guys.
It truly. And like, I've said some of my piece on Sammy on here before, but like, even like the other stuff, like the Eddie Kingston fight, he took like the blame for that. And like, how much can you really put on him for cutting a promo? Like, it didn't seem like it was all that bad. And Eddie Kingston was just upset and they had a tiff in the back. It happens, but everybody was mad at Sammy. The stuff with Andrade, everybody got mad at Sammy. This stuff, you can partially be mad at him, I think, because he didn't stop, like I said, but there was also like 4 other people who should have been like, hey, Sammy, like, I know you're in the moment, but we need to stop, you know, like Jeff is hurt. And they didn't. No one did. And I don't particularly understand where the next line of defense is sometimes for these wrestlers when they're injured and nobody's calling the match.
Very true. So we're going to wrap up our 76 questions here on Ring of Free Professional Wrestling for March the 26th, 2024. Ashley, we're going to introduce Kimmy to our favorite segment of the week.
It's Sean and Ashley's top 5 matches of the week. As they count down their 5 favorite matches from the past week, did your favorite match make the cut?
And since we got a special guest, we're going to allow our guest to go first. Kimmy, what is your number 5 match of the week?
Now I gotta pull it up. My number 5 match of the week was a match that happened on Monday Night Raw, and this match was to determine who was going to go to WrestleMania in that 6-way ladder match. It was DIY and the Creed Brothers. To be honest, I felt like both of these teams should have gone into the ladder match. I feel like the Creed Brothers had all this momentum when they debuted, and now they kind of don't know what they're doing with them. And I'm kind of like, why did they have all this momentum if you're just going to like have them do nothing? Because now they might not even get on the WrestleMania card because of this. But this match was so good. I mean, the crowd was really into it. I think it was kind of obvious that DIY was going to win. They've been very emotional on social media over the past week. This is both of their first WrestleManias. I do not believe they're going to walk out with the titles at WrestleMania. I think an awesome Truth team will be walking out as new tag team champions. But this match was a great way to kind of kick off, because this was the first match of the 5 matches that they're going to have to determine who's going to WrestleMania. This was a great way to kick it off. And the Creed Brothers just continue to prove why at some point they will be the future of the WWE tag team division.
Excellent choice, Kimmy. This almost made my top 5 list. This match was so freaking good. And like you, I feel like the Creed should have been in this ladder match. You need a team that is a base. And these are 2 strong boys.
Oh, 100%. I mean, they were NXT Tag Team Champions. They had a pretty good run with those championships. Now they just need to, like, find something to do on the main roster. Like, put them, like, I feel like Ivy's, like, going one way because now she's with Maxine and the whole Alpha Academy. Like, maybe they're better when they're together than separate.
Fair point. So we're going to slide over to Ashley's number 5 match of the week. Ashley, what do you have for number 5?
All right. So for number 5, I went with Ring of Honor this week. Again, I guess it's the women show because we're only getting women's matches on it. But I'll take it because more of it, better. There was 3 matches. It was very tough. I know you kind of had all of them sort of categorized trying to pick one. I went with the Queen Aminata in Red Velvet match, though. Queen Aminata just been showing out since she arrived in AEW and has been fantastic. And I don't want it to overshadow how good Red Velvet has been. She, even before her injury, I would say like 3 or 4 matches before her injury, she really like put it together. And since coming back and kind of finally getting into more programs and having more steady matches weekly, she continues to look great, and they need to start investing in her and either do something with Ring of Honor to promote this, that this stuff is happening, or bring her into AEW and get her on Dynamite again.
I'll talk about this more because it's also on my list. So good.
Well, allow me to introduce you to the other semifinal for the Ring of Honor Women's TV title, as I'm picking Billy Starks versus Mercedes Martinez. Now, watching this match, I was enjoying it. I kind of felt bad because I was kind of, in my mind, picturing ahead for Mercedes Martinez versus Queen Ayana. Oh my God, we need this match sometime down the road because that's going to be a barn burner. But Billy Starks advances here. We're continuing the storyline that maybe Billy wins this TV title and Athena drops the title to Sheeta, and we get this conflict between Billy and Athena, maybe.
There's so many ways we could go with Billy. Like, maybe, like, Nyla technically has unfinished business with Billy Starks. And I feel like everyone forgets that because Nyla was hunting Billy for weeks and they never got their one-on-one match. What if Nyla were to cost Billy in this match to kind of like re-spark that feud with Athena? You know, or if Athena loses to Sheeta, which I personally don't think is going to happen, but at this point, anything in Ring of Honor surprises me. Like, what if Athena gets jealous that Billy finally has like all of this spotlight, and now all of it is kind of derailed from Athena, and now it's no longer her show, it's Billy's show? Because as the TV champion, you're the champion of the TV show every week.
Fair point. Okay, let's move over to Kimmy's number four match of the week as we pop it up here.
Such a great main event. I was so happy when SRS reported that this match was going to get time because this feud has been absolutely amazing. I know so many people were kind of scared that Nia and Liv were at the last possible second going to get in to the WrestleMania match and they were going to make it a fatal four-way. And I was like, no, guys, I promise you, like, let's just see it play out. They went all over the place with this last woman standing match. The commentary table spot, so great. And Becky continues to prove that you truly can't have WrestleMania without the man. Unfortunately, I don't think she's going to beat Rhea. I don't think she needs the title at this point. But it's been very enjoyable to see her on her road to WrestleMania, and I can't wait to see what happens after WrestleMania.
Well, you know, Kimmy, for me, watching this match, that leg drop off the ladder onto the announce table was a great freaking spot. And I got to finally admit, I'm sorry, Nia Jax. This run is your best run. You have improved, and the proof is in the pudding. That match was freaking good.
Yes, the hate on Nia Jax got to stop. She's a lovely person in real life. I've been very grateful to meet her twice, but she really put in the work on this last run, and even her match in Australia with Rhea was really good. Like, she cares now, and I think it's showing every single week on Raw and even on the pay-per-views that she's been showcased on.
And we're going to move to Ashley's number four match of the week, which I got up and watched live, and I totally agree with, this was a freaking classic.
I went, yes, with the New Japan Cup Finals, Yota Tsuji taking on Hirooki Goto, who I'm certain had this spot with the injury to David Finlay and him being out and everything, but he's no stranger to the New Japan Cup Finals, and he went out there with sort of a point to prove, I think, but it was Yota Tsuji's night. And I loved the post-match interaction with Tetsuya Naito.
Well, you know, Ashley, I got a feeling that maybe Naito's will be dropping this title to Yushi here coming up in a month or so.
We've talked about them needing, like, you know, the guy they're going to put their chips in with, you know. And it kind of seems like Yota Tsuji is the guy they're going with, crowning him New Japan Cup champion. If they do decide to do this, I'm very excited. I loved the... like, I don't care that we're LIJ. I'm coming for what's important. Like, it's how it should be, and I love it. So I'm very for this, and I'm excited to see where this is going.
What do you think, Kimmy?
So I'm not really that familiar with, like, New Japan. That's the one promotion I don't watch. I watch everything else but New Japan. But I did see so many people raving about this match on Twitter.
Okay, hey, fair point. There's so many great promotions going today. It's hard to find time for everything you can see in professional wrestling. So let's move. Yeah, true. Very impossible. Okay, my number four match of the week came from NXT as they're on the road to find somebody to face Bron Breakker, Baron Corbin. So allow me to introduce you to Nathan Frazer, SCM, who is a kid if you're an NXT UK fan, versus Charlie Dempsey, oh, by the way, William Regal's son, and his partner Mars Bourne. This match was so freaking fun. And the right team won, and David Fraser and Axiom. Bourne took the pin, so Charlie Dipsley didn't have to suffer a pin here, because Rey Mysterio's son should not be pinned yet.
Definitely not.
No, I mean, he also had that little minor like stint in All Japan, I believe.
Yes.
Earlier in the year. But I think, you know, Dempsey's really going to be something in NXT within the next couple months. I know he's the Heritage Cup champ, right?
Yeah, thanks to the No Quarter Catch crew, they all technically are the Heritage Cup champions, because the No Quarter Catch crew is NXT version of the Blackpool Combat Club, because William Regal's back in the company.
I mean, listen, like, that's the reason he came back, right? To see his son thrive and be able to work with him. So he's living his best life, even if he kind of pressured Tony Khan to let him get out of his contract. That's a story for another day.
Okay, so let's move back over to Kimmy's number 3 match of the week. And boy, this we already talked about earlier, but Kimmy, what were your thoughts about this match?
So first of all, both these talent will be at WrestleCon, so that's really exciting. And the fun part is, if Aminata wins the Ring of Honor TV Championship Friday night, you can meet her with the championship Saturday. Like, you have a 50-50 shot, right? Like, that's incredible. Besides that point, that was my little plug. So the amazing thing about this match is Red Velvet. Oh my God. She has improved so much since literally like day one of her in the company. And so many people forget, like, she teamed with Shaq in the pandemic days of AEW with against Cody and Jade. And people were like, why is Red Velvet in this position? It shouldn't be Red. This is so stupid. And she has shown how much she's in, like, ever since she came back and she like was wrestling on Dynamite and Collision, people every single week are like, oh my God, I love Red. Look at Red. Look at Red. It's like, yeah, look at what you guys have been like kind of missing since the beginning. But I was actually kind of shocked that Red didn't make it to the finals, because I think she would have made an amazing champion. I think it made sense, because now it's kind of like, what do you do with her? It seems like she's going to be more consistent within Ring of Honor. And I know that Kiera and Diamante are fighting Thursday as kind of a number one contender of who's going to face the new champion, because both of them said that in their promo. So I guess we're going to go with that. But this was my favorite match in the entire tournament. Both these ladies are super young, super new, and they're the future. And they'll advance to the AEW Women's Division and they'll take it by storm.
Like I said, Aminata's been killing it. Like, she opened so many eyes when she started wrestling. Like when AEW was kind of like, all right, and they put her on that streak where she was on like Rampage for every week for like a month. She opened so many eyes and has been killing it. And like you said, Red was like always very good too. And I think the one thing that kind of like people were like, oh, you know, like a little scared with her, was she was just too fast. Like, she, like, everything she did was at like 150 miles an hour. And I was like, you just got to rein it in. That's all. You, like, the pieces are there. You just got to calm down sometimes. But like, she kind of has like her balance and she's looked great.
Yes. The training with Bryan Danielson has been paying off tremendously.
Well, speaking of AEW women talent, let's go to Ashley's number 3 match of the week. And boy, this was a great ending to our Wednesday night watching wrestling. Ashley, take it away.
All right. Every time AEW women are given the chance to have these kinds of matches, I feel like they just kill it. They understand hardcore matches better than a lot of people for some reason. And it's a really weird thing that the AEW women's division sort of has mastered, in my opinion. These tag team matches have been great. And Statlander and Willow kind of finally getting a chance to go after Julia and Sky after this like back and forth over the past few weeks was really good. But I like Julia and Sky getting this big win too, because they've taken quite a few losses lately.
This was so good. I mean, every single time there is a women's street fight tag team match, it always knocks out of the park. I believe this is the third or fourth one we've seen on AEW TV, and they've all been amazing. Sky Blue will also be at WrestleCon all 3 days. So if you want to go meet Sky, you could see her at WrestleCon, courtesy of Ultimate Stars Promotions, who is my very dear friend. But yeah.
Just watch out if she has any matches or anything. Don't let her have anything flammable.
Listen, last year we were in a haunted hotel and she was fine. So I have no doubt this year that since we're not in a haunted hotel, that we're going to be okay. Guys, if you ever go to LA, do not stay at the Biltmore Hotel. It is haunted to a T. Very scary. But anyway, that's what we're talking about. But yeah, Julie and Sky have been on the receiving end for a lot of losses. And now that Mercedes has kind of like targeted them, I'm wondering if A, the first match Mercedes is going to have is going to be her versus Sky. And then once she wins, is she going to like wrestle Julia? And then like for the TBS title, are we going down that route? Because that's a little, I wasn't expecting that. I thought she'd be going after the AEW Women's Champion and Toni Storm.
Well, Kimmy, you know, me for one, I'm happy that maybe Mercedes Moné is going to be going down the road for the TBS title. Because look at Julia Hart. Like we said about Red Velvet, from day one to now, she has grown light years. And she's holding her own with Mercedes Moné, one of the best talents in the world, 2 weeks in a row.
That is true. I do give it to her. And I mean, I know that she's done a complete 360 from the cheerleader gimmick to now. She's extremely over. The fans really like that she's in the House of Black. You can make the argument she's the only member of the House of Black to show up every single week on AEW TV. But she's been killing it.
Well, we're moving on to my number three match of the week. It goes back to NXT. We kind of hinted at it during the 76 questions. It's Roxanne Perez versus Taylan Patsley. As we work our way to Stand and Deliver, Roxanne Perez finally got what she truly wanted, a shot for that title that she never lost, because she's a valid heel with a valid reason for being ticked off at the world, because she didn't get her fair one-on-one shot for the NXT Women's title, even though I like Lyra Valkyria.
Yeah, I mean, I like the pairing between Paxley and Valkyria. I think it, at first I was like, oh, they're basically doing what they're doing at AEW with Tony and Mariah. It's quite interesting. We're seeing this in two different companies at the same exact time. I love that. But I will give it to Tatum. She's completely like honed into this. I love that like she was so obsessed with like Valkyria's like championship pants. I forgot that was like I think like a month ago or something, where she was like, the championship pants. Oh my god, the championship pants. And that, you know, they got their tag title shot for the women's tag team titles, but unfortunately they didn't get the job done. But yeah, I mean, no matter what happens next week at Stand Deliver between Paxley and Valkyria, I think we'll eventually get Paxley and Valkyria in a one-on-one match, and I think that should be a very good match when that happens.
I can't wait. So let's go to Kimmy's number two match of the week. I got a feeling that this is going to be inside our top two for everybody. So Kimmy, take it away.
Oh my god. So I think like when this match was first announced, everyone was like, okay, like we've already seen them wrestle twice. The first match wasn't that good. Let's be real. That first match was kind of rough. The second one I was there for because it was at World's End and that was really good. So I was like, I wonder what they could do in an I Quit match that they haven't done already. Because, you know, they had that standard like one-on-one, then they had like the no DQ. I forgot exactly what the stipulation was at World's End. I think it was a no holds barred, no D sort of situation, but I quit. It's a whole different ball game. I love that they went around the arena. I love that they put the hockey jerseys on. And since they were in Canada, it made total sense because that's their number one sport out there is hockey. I love that we have the continuation with Daniel Garcia in there because he technically got screwed at Revolution. I was a very, very sad person watching that match and not seeing my man get the job done. And I definitely think that's going to be the match of Dynasty is going to be Daniel versus Adam, because he kept looking at that TNT title a little bit too much. And I was like, yes, go get your title that you should have won at the beginning of March. But this was really good. This is the perfect way to kind of end that chapter. You know, Christian now is going to go on like a whole little like tirade of like, oh my god, I can't believe I lost a title. Like, remember when he was in WWE in like the early 2000s and he used to have like these breakdowns and meltdowns and tantrums? I feel like that's going to make a return within this. And I'm so excited. And you could have like Shayna Wayne console him because that's mother. Like, that's 10 out of 10 storytelling going on right there. And I'm so excited to see what they do with this and excited to see what's next for the patriarchy.
Same here, because weirdly, Nick Wayne's mom has been such a great addition to this faction. Like, having her manage hit like this like shitbag and her own son, it like, give that to me. Like, I want to see this stay together. I love it.
You know, I'm gonna hold off on my comments about this match because it's later on my list. So let's slide down to Ashley's number two match of the week, which was on the same show just a little earlier. Ashley, was it one of the best matches of the year so far?
this one was brutal. And I feel like maybe the start of the maybe the Eddie Kingston downfall here. He's been riding a high for a while. And we had him and Okada in this crazy, like, Okada's chest was bleeding like three chops in or something. It was nuts. Just crazy back and forth. Okada looks fantastic and I think has not really missed any sort of beats translating over from like the Japanese style and like how they present over there to coming here and being on TV weekly and everything like that. This heel gimmick is great. And I love like not even having the Young Bucks be involved, like just having him win clean.
So I love that we are separating the Triple Crown Championship. That is the my favorite thing that has come out of this match, because that was the problem going back to Ring of Honor as to why Eddie Kingston was never on Ring of Honor, because he was always tied up defending it in this feud he has with Okada and the Bucks. And now that he doesn't have that responsibility anymore, he can show up on Thursdays like he is supposed to. So that is the number one key thing that came out of this match. I have a world champion on Thursday nights. And to be fair, I actually asked Tony Khan this on the Revolution Media Scrum. I was like, is Eddie Kingston going to be wrestling on Supercard of Honor? Because he hasn't been on like Ring of Honor TV since December. And he goes, well, Kimmy, you know, he had to get through Revolution and his match with Bryan Danielson, but he will be defending the title. Like, I promised you that. And look, we've had him on two promos back-to-back weeks. He has a match. I like started a Eddie Kingston Revolution. You're welcome. Like,
you book the show. You know what's going on and you know where he needs to be. Book him where he needs to be.
And not in a Proving Grounds match. That you on throw the biggest pay-per-view of the year.
That you throw in 5 minutes like before it happened.
It was a good match though, to be fair.
Well, ladies, it's also my number two match of the week. And I gotta say, I love the fact that we see Slime Ball Okada backing off from Eddie Kingston, only to nail a DDT on the ground and give us that beautiful smile, that wicked smile. And I'm like, you know what? This is fine. Him being the Young Bucks, him being heel in AEW instead of coming in and going like babyface Okada that we've seen for the last year and a half in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I was wrong. AEW is right. Okada being a heel with the Young Bucks is so good. And we're looking like we're getting Pat versus Okada. Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah.
Dynasty. That's going to be a hell of a match. Welcome back, Pac.
Well, Kimmy, what is your number one match of the week?
Oh my God. So when this match first got announced, I thought it was going to be a squash, right? Just because, okay, it's a way for Shida to look strong going into the pay-per-view because she hasn't been on Ring of Honor. And basically the whole reason she's versing Athena is because she came out and she was like, I need some new competition, which I thought Serena Deeb, because she's been calling out competition for weeks on Collision. I'm like, it makes so much sense. Oh my God. Then we get Shida. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, that kind of works too. This match is going to be good, and going based on the storyline, Shida beat Athena, so it makes sense. And then they had this match and it was really good, like so good. And I think people forget, like, Ellering has been wrestling for a really long time. She's been on the indies, she was in WWE, she was in TNA, and she finally had an opponent that could wrestle up to her level, and she showed out. And this is why Rachel Ellering is in Ring of Honor, to help with the younger talent and to help establish them. And she could put on a good match every once in a while. So this was amazing, phenomenal. And Shida, sorry, you're no match for my minion overlord. I have a minion number. I can't go against Athena. I'm sorry.
No, this one was really good too. And like you said, like, people I think do kind of just look at her as somebody that was just gonna, oh, it's gonna be like a 5 minute match and it'll be over quickly. And thankfully it wasn't. I love when they do that. But I love that she's sort of been featured too a lot over the past few months. Like, they had her going with like legit Layla Hirsch and stuff like that. So she's been featured and stuff. So it seems like maybe they're kind of carving out a spot for her there, which would be really nice.
Well, ladies, this was my palate cleanser after Friday Night SmackDown. I just said, I need some good professional wrestling. So I put on Ring of Honor and I was so happy to see Rachel Ellering. I feel like she has been truly misunderstood in other companies. And finally, they have a place. She has a home where she can wrestle and show what she can do in the freaking ring. And this match was proof of it.
I still need her versus Layla Hirsch. That was my like original finals for like the women's TV championship. I was like, that's what we're leading to. And I was like, why is this the first match in the first round.
Yeah, they were like heavily involved in that storyline for a while leading up to it, and then it, like you said, just ended on the first round. Like, build that stuff through, like, at least the semifinals.
They booked this whole tournament wrong, but that's another story for another day.
True. Let's go over to Ashley's number one match of the week. I got a feeling that we think a lot, Ashley, so this is also my number one match of the week. I'll go ahead and say it. So, Ashley, tell us why this is our number one match of the week.
Well, kind of like Kimmy said earlier, this was hella fun. all over the place, hockey fights, sin bin battles. I've never seen the crowd sing Metalingus like that. So to start off like that was really awesome. Very cool. And like, let's get Copeland to Wembley. Book it now. I want to see all those people singing Metalingus now. This was crazy and a great way to cap off Christian's like very excellent title run. The TNT title struggled for a while, kind of before it found some footing again. So thankfully, Christian kind of anchored it for these past few months, got it back into some relevancy. And now we're going to get like the Cope Open coming up with this TNT title run. So I'm excited for that. But watching these guys who've known each other for 40 years beat the hell out of each other and then scare me with that spike ending shot there when he low blowed him with that. Just how can you not love these two guys, two best friends, in front of all their family, their friends, their hometown? Man, just beating the hell out of each other and having a hell of a match.
Who were never supposed to wrestle again at one point.
True.
Oh, true story here. My first ever live wrestling event was WrestleMania 2011. Edge's last match. We didn't know at the time. Me and my brother drove back from Atlanta to Knoxville. We got in time to watch Raw and see Edge retire, and that was in 2011. We're in the year of our Lord 2024, and he just had one hell of a match, and it was a street fight. I'm just happy these two guys had a chance to do this on a national stage where they could actually do what they want to.
He just brought me back to that day when Edge announced his retirement, and I bawled for like longer than SmackDown was on.
That was before I was watching WWE. I was watching TNA only at that point. I'm a backwards wrestling fan. TNA, Ring of Honor, WWE. What a journey.
No, that works. I see, like me, I started with WWF, and then I was TNA, and then sort of some indie stuff, and then AEW.
Well, I get you guys all beat. I started with WCW, mixed with some Smoky Mountain Wrestling, to the WWF, the WWE, TNA, during the good TNA years, and now here I am still going wrestling fan 30 plus years. I can skip away my age, but hey, who cares?
Listen, by the time WCW was already bought by WWE, I wasn't even born yet. Like, I was like a couple months after.
Killing me right now.
I'm sorry.
Well, on that note, we are bringing this episode of Ready Free Professional Wrestling to it. And Kimmy, where can we find you on the super information super highway?
So you could follow. So I always get confused because my Twitter and my Instagram, literally the only difference is there's a dot on one and an underscore on another. So you can follow me on Twitter at Kimmy_Sokol. You can follow me on Instagram at Kimmy.Sokol. I'm so close to 1,800 followers on my Instagram. I'm at like 1,795. So if you all could help me get to my 1,800 goal by next week, I'd greatly appreciate that. One thing I do is I write for the Pop Break. That's a pop culture website with a bunch of pop culture things that I really don't understand. And I took the wrestling section and was like, I'm going to do something with this. So there's a bunch of stuff there. I review Dark Side of the Ring every week. We're also going to be having a lot of content with WrestleMania. And I know that they're also doing a piece on WrestleCon going over all the ins and outs. So make sure to check out for that. I review Ring of Honor every single week on PW Insider. So if you want to go see my reviews, go check that out. Thursday, unfortunately, I'm traveling to Indiana for Squared Circle Expo, so there won't be a review this week, but I promise they'll come again after WrestleMania. I promise, promise, promise. I also have a podcast that I decided to do every once in a while called All Things Honor, where I review Ring of Honor. And of course, the fun part of my job is I work conventions. So this weekend at Squared Circle Expo in Indiana. That's right, I'm traveling from all little New York all the way to Indiana. We have Sting, Mickey James, Scott Norton, Mick Foley, and Lita. So if you're in that area, come check us out. And then, of course, WrestleCon, like I said earlier in the show, I've had a lot of friends, promoters, Highspot itself work so hard on this show. They plan this a year out, and it takes so much work. And it is literally a main attraction. It is so fan-driven. There's so much to do. So if you are looking for time to kill in Philly, please go to WrestleCon. The Superfan tickets go down on March 29th. Or if you're looking for just a one-day pass, which if you're looking to go all 3 days, I'd buy the Superfan now. But if you're looking to just do a one-day pass because you're looking to kill time, go purchase that all at WrestleCon.com. And of course, if you are going to WrestleCon, like we said earlier in the show, there's going to be a cheat sheet. It is already up. It gets updated every single day with every single talent that's going to be there, vendors, prices, and everything you need to know. And they're still announcing talent from now, literally until like the day before. So you never know who's going to show up. So make sure your alerts are on so you see who's announced for WrestleCon. And thank you all for having me. I had a lot of fun doing this.
Well, thank you, Kimmy. It's been great to have you on the show. Ashley, where can we find you on the Super Information Superhighway?
I'm on Twitter, and it's at @groovy_ash_.
And of course, you can always follow us on Twitter at RadioFreePW. We're the same on Instagram and TikTok. If you missed the episode, go over to our YouTube channel, Radio Free Professional Wrestling, or www.radiofreepw.com. Kimmy, Ashley, everybody, remember, this is our groovy and stunning era. Top podcasters out.
This is Sergeant Arms of Christina on behalf of the guys. Thanks for listening to today's show. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. Until next time, the liberation continues.